Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're a little too scared to give me a call, feel free to email me. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. Emails, comments, and concerns are all taken care of there. You can go to the Facebook Smooth Drama page, add us, we'll add you back, we can talk a taste on it, Twitter, wherever. Look up Smooth Drama, you find Smooth Drama, you wanna add us, we got you. It's all good. You in the chat room, you want chat a little bit. I'm up for that. I can multitask sometimes. Sometimes I cannot, so that's what it is. In the meantime, I try not to do this early on, but I give a shout out to my main man Jamil, who is going through the loss of a parent. He lost his mother this past weekend, and want to give a shout out in prayers to my main man. It's never a good thing to lose a loved one. So all our prayers and thoughts go out to my main man, Jamil. In the meantime, Illinois is starting a driver's education class. And it's an Illinois law where they're mandating that students learn what to do during a traffic stop. New state law, Governor Bruce Rauner mandated that teachers dedicate instruction time to ensuring that students learn what to do and what not to do when they are pulled over by the police. I mean, it's cool, but I mean, are they going to have that special part of the class where they talk to the black kids like, hey, this don't apply to y'all because there's nothing that you can do except for don't die? I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny at the same time because it's like they're talking about, I mean, because the rules of the road that they're talking about don't really apply to us. I mean, because as everyone knows, we die during traffic stops. So, yeah. I don't know. Is there a law where they teach the cops what to do during a traffic stop, like stop killing black people? It might come in handy. Put that in the training manual, like do not kill every black person, unarmed black person. Legal gun owning black people, they are innocent and don't deserve to die. When they put that in, somebody call me and let me know, and I'll actually pay attention to it. Until then, probably not gonna pay it any mind. I mean, it's not even talking about how in the schools they have what you call be set to stun guns because they have stun guns in the school system. So your kids could be going to school and getting tasered. because, as you know, most high school kids, straight out hardened criminals who deserve to be tasered and handcuffed and all that. That's where we're at at this point. North Carolina in particular, there was an incident in Knightdale High School where kids got into a fight, which they do. They get into a little fight, little scuffle, whatnot, and then the officer come and tases them. And so there's a new series of stories about the police in schools, which I know a lot of y'all know that there are police in schools, but you know it to the extent where now the police are armed and ready to shoot your kids in class. I mean, now we know that there have been the school shootings, whatnot. And as someone who works in the school system, we're all aware of those things, but I'm kind of feeling safe because I don't work at an affluent school where they're like rich white kids. I hate the stereotype, but we know that generally the shooters are well-to-do white kids who, I don't know, maybe they lost a video game the night before or been losing in their video game tournament and decided to shoot everybody at the school who beat them. I don't know. At this point, it doesn't matter. All the school shootings, stabbings, whatnot, they always seem to be the same kind of person. And being that if you work in certain schools, hint, hint, the ghetto, you don't have to worry about that. It's in the back of my mind, but it's not really on my mind. But the fact that we have armed, basically, police at the school, I think it's kind of troubling. I don't know if people think that it's troubling, but I think it's really troubling that you have that aspect. In the school system with young people. Not even college. I can't remember going to college and seeing like the armed guards everywhere, but you got them in high schools, middle schools, hell, elementary schools have armed guards. But you don't really see it a lot in colleges. It's kind of crazy. I mean, we know they're there. They're there. They have the campus police, but you don't see them like you see them in elementary and middle school and in high school. It's funny how that goes. And speaking of police, I know y'all remember the Baltimore police who were suing the black district attorney for going after them, come to find out that the reason why they were really, really going after them is because the attorney that they hired was actually a neo-Nazi lawyer. I won't say neo-Nazi lawyer, but he was a neo-Nazi supporter. Glenn Keith Allen, a longtime supporter of the neo-Nazi National Alliance. He's the one who is defending the Baltimore Police Department in that 2015 lawsuit filed by Savion Burgess, a black man who was in prison for 19 years before being released and having his charges dismissed in 2014. He claims that officers fabricated evidence in order to send him to jail for a murder he did commit. And, they said, and I will quote, Baltimore City Solicitor George Nielsen told the Baltimore Sun that city officials were investigating the allegations brought against Allen. The mayor's office released a statement later Thursday saying that Allen's one-year contract with the city law department has been terminated. They said he was fully vetted at the time of his hire and, of course, had decades earlier been professionally and character tested upon his admission to the bar. Yeah. But somehow, you vet someone, but somehow the fact that they openly contribute to the neo-Nazi National Alliance. Kind of missed that. I don't know how you missed that. I mean, basically, neo-Nazi Alliance is basically a rival to the Klan. That's who defends the police. So you wonder why they have problems in Baltimore? Shit, the people that defend them are Klansmen themselves. Oh, Nazi. Whichever one you want to say it is. They're all the same to me. Yeah. So now I wonder, do they still pursue that them trying to get rid of that DA? With this kind of stuff. I mean, we know it's going to happen, but it's funny how they have neo-Nazi ties, but nobody can see the scandal in that and how that could be a problem. But, I guess the Olympics is going on, so I guess that's a little bit more important. Sort of like the Gabby Douglas thing where everybody's still talking about the national anthem. She didn't have her hand over her heart. She didn't have her hand over her heart. What the hell? Every time I stand up for the national anthem, I have my hand over my heart. As somebody who, if I ever go to a game, which is rare, I try to go late because I don't want to have to look at somebody when they stand up and turn around and look at the flag and I'm sitting down because I don't stand up for the flag. I never have pledged allegiance, whichever one you want to call it. And I'm not putting my hand over my heart. I'm not pledging allegiance to none of this shit that don't love me. I mean, I'm a black man. I can be stopped for doing nothing and chill. And I'm going to pledge allegiance to that shit? Hell no. That's crazy as hell. And the fact that they jumping on her, I mean, she put her hand over heart. And then, on top of that, the folks who are hating on her hair, it's like, y'all was hating on her hair in 2012. It's like, look, she is doing a sport. I mean, obviously, the people who are hating on her hair have never participated in any athletic event. Being dolled up is not the lick when you're trying to compete athletically. It's the last thing on your goddamn mind. But apparently, which is the reason why they're not there in the first place, because they're not athletes. They can't compete. They can't do nothing. Hell, they probably don't know how to shit without looking at their phone, looking it up, how to shit. And, anyway, I'm sorry I'm cussing. I do want to say this, though. For all the people hating on Gabby Douglas' hair, fuck you and your cousins on the late shift, passing out towels and perfume in the bathroom, in the club, making me and everybody else feel uneasy. Once again, when you can spell the words without your phone, then you probably can talk. Until then, you probably should just shut up. Because, one, y'all probably can't even get a passport, don't know where to get a passport. And if you did, you probably couldn't find it without your phone because you can't do anything without looking at your phone. How do you spell passport, Siri? Because I know that's kind of where we're at this point. You're looking at your phone like, oh, He dissing. How do you spell dissing? And you like type in dissing. Anyway, oh, update real fast. I posted it on Facebook in the Smooth Drama group. I actually did submit. I talked about it last show. Super Negro as the new designation for House Negro in the 21st century. So, Super Negro is a House Negro in the 21st century. I put that as my submission, and my submission sentence is David Clark is a Super Negro. For those of you who don't know, once again, who David Clark is, he's that Milwaukee police chief who talks about black folks, even though he is a black man, and how there's that current of underclass and how ghetto mentality, blah, 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 and all these bad black people. Yeah. He's no longer a House Negro. He's graduated to Super Negro. I hope that it can be submitted. I'm hoping that it's approved. If it's not approved, I don't care. I'm going to carry the banner for Super Negro. And I encourage you, the listener out there, look it up. See if they have approved it. I'll give it 24 hours. It was approved earlier today. So we'll see this time tomorrow if Super Negro exists. If so, we have created a new word in the Urban Dictionary, Super Negro, the evolution of the House Negro to Super Negro. We can have them all with their Super Negro capes on. On that note, I'm going to break. Because I need a break. This is Fat Joe, the real.
Yeah. Well, it's time, baby. It's time to speak the truth, maturity. Gotta evolve to let go the real. Call yourself real, you gotta start speaking about the real. See, Joe cracked the dawn, and this is what I'm bringing to you. Yo, nowadays I'm flirting with uncertain death. Lord, I gotta be dying, cause after all this crying, how much more hurt is left? But will the pain stop? This depression and anxiety is gonna make me show another side of me. Must try with me, cause I'm the truth. There's benefits to rolling with this clique, don't nobody f*** with you. Still, they label me as tyrant and a backstabber. But study the facts of crack, don't add up. I'm bringing opportunity to my community. Probably the only rapper that cares, but still you out to ruin me. Who you fooling me? I'm for unity, Latins and blacks, cause you fathom the strength we have in the two of the thatch. Born together, holding the light. These Uncle Charm politicians ain't holding us right. How could the same be 20 years in office when it's clear the only thing that's rising is unemployment, abortion, little kids having kids. The school system is failing us, I ain't destined. While the rich keep getting richer, the poor keep dying young. I can't hide no more, the time has come.
I was born in the ghetto, trembling, trying to stay alive.
My brother, every day I'm confronted with racism. These motherfuckers want the baggers that have us shackled up in state prison. After all the taxes I pay, you would think when they stop us, they would have something nicer to say. To get the fuck out the car, where the drugs at? All the jewelry you're wearing, where the fucking guns at? Once they search the car clean and find nothing, the same crooked cops try to act like they know us or something. Laughing, selling jokes by the thousands. 2 seconds ago, they try to send us to the mountains. Leave my son without a father, my wife without a husband. The more I think about it, man, it's disgusting. Still, we live amongst them, everybody wants out. That's why we ride like we got silver spoons in our mouths. Like we ain't grow up on welfare. Don't even go there, you probably wore pro plan. We need to educate the youth, tell us the truth. Too much to share the bare minimum.
347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, as I live and breathe talking about the the Olympics, I don't know if y'all saw Mr. Ryan Lochte, and he, of course, would be my favorite, the dumbass of the week. Always got to get that last one in. Yeah, Ryan Lochte, who him and the homies talked about how they were robbed by gunpoint and how supposedly these guys are trying to get them, whatnot. But it ended up, these suckers were basically vandalizing the country. They partied till like 4 in the morning. And then from there, these dudes was caught on camera peeing at the gas station and vandalizing the gas station bathroom and around that whole place, and then want to say, oh yeah, we was being robbed, so they're being charged. I mean, you figure that the charges gonna get dropped, but it's still funny. It's like, dude, y'all, I mean, most folks, you know, you celebrate, you hang out with whoever you want to hang out with and do your thing, and that be it. But it's like you celebrate a win by going out and wrecking a gas station and peeing all over the place on camera, mind you. And then try to lie about, we was robbed. We was robbed. It's sort of like those NBA players who said they were looking for a spa, and they end up at the whorehouse. Like, come on. Stop lying. But yeah, these cats here, now you're being indicted. It's going to go away, but the fact that they tried to lie and try to get out of it, yeah. Ryan Lochte, super dumbass of the week. But they've got nothing on the hater of the week. The hater of the week is like, wow. I couldn't believe it. Our hater of the week is Rodrigo Duterte. If you don't know who he is, it's probably because you don't follow Filipino politics. Well, Rodrigo I'm always messing up names, and it don't matter. Rodrigo Duterte is the president of the Philippines, and he has interesting views on how to get rid of drug addicts. Mr. Duterte is like, kill them all. Like really, kill them all. I mean, he's urging the citizens to kill drug addicts, like literally, like not playing. In his state, because I want y'all to know, y'all talking about Donald Trump, and when I've always said, and I'll be on record as saying, Donald Trump is not really trying to win. He's just doing it so that y'all will vote for Hillary, who's way worse candidate, but I digress. This is the real president of the Philippines. In his State of the Union address, if you know of any addicts, go ahead and kill them yourself, as getting their parents to do it would be too painful. During his election campaign earlier this year, Duterte estimated that 100,000 people would be murdered during his campaign, and fish would grow fat from feeding on bodies dumped in Manila Bay. 400 people have already been executed by the police and others since May. Bodies are being found every day with placards reading, I am a drug pusher, or I am a drug addict. Now, getting rid of the drug dealers, I can't say that I'm against that, but damn, he's killing the addicts too. Like, yeah, ain't no rehab. If I see you on drugs, I'm killing you. And so he goes on to say, these sons of whores are destroying our children. I warn you, don't go into that, even if you're a policeman, because I will really kill you. Yeah. Just so you know. So when y'all talk about Trump and how horrible he is and how horrible he would be as president, I'm guessing he wouldn't be talking about killing drug dealers and drug addicts. Not to say that it wouldn't make the United States a better place. I mean, it would be interesting. I tell you that. If you had a president who was like, I'm going to kill all drug dealers and drug addicts, and was like really real after it, that would definitely clean up the streets. Tell you that real quick. But yeah, in the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, if you're trying to smoke some weed in the Philippines, probably not going to work out for you. Hater of the week, but hell, he's hater of the week every week. Because he kills, he's ordering death every week, and he's real with his. It ain't comedy rhetoric like Donald Trump. He's like really killing. Like, you're all going to die killing. Just so you know. But in all seriousness, I do want to talk about police. Not that you would be shocked that I'd be talking about the police with what's been going on lately. But there's a Supreme Court, Ohio Supreme Court, who struck down a law banning cops from having sex with minors. Now, I was like, hold on. hold on a second. Cops striking down a law banning cops from having sex with minors. So, I'm like, nah, that's got to be fake. There's no way that that's real, right? I mean, because It don't make sense. Until you go into it and you find that the Ohio Supreme Court has ruled that it is unconstitutional to hold police officers' sexual conduct with minors to higher standards than those applied to the general population. The decision was 4-3, and it passed last Thursday, and it overturned a 2-year sentence of a former police officer. The case involved a former Wait Hill officer named Matthew Mole, who was convicted in 2012 of sexual battery. Mole was caught engaging in sexual conduct with a 14-year-old boy in Richmond Heights, I guess, which is in Ohio. And he was tried in Cuyahoga County Commons Pleas Court. And, you know, according to the Supreme Court, he was contacted by the boy through an online dating site. The boy portrayed himself as an 18-year-old high school senior, and the two met, and the boy's mother caught them engaging in sexual conduct. At the trial, a jury returned a hung verdict on the charge of unlawful sexual conduct with a minor, which prohibits contact with a minor ages 13 to 15. The judge ruled Mole guilty of sexual battery by virtue of his position as a police officer and sentenced him to 2 years in prison. Now, first, hung jury. How is that a hung jury? I mean, one, we ain't talking about everybody at the jury had big dicks. Not trying to make a joke, but I did make a joke. But the fact that you have a hung jury with a 35-year-old police officer at the time and a 16-year-old boy. I mean, he found out, he had to find out that the boy was young. And even if he didn't, you should be able, anyway. I'm not going to say that he should be able to see that he's older or whatnot, but the fact that, hey, he had sex with a minor as a police officer, he was found guilty. And the Supreme Court says, hey, you know what? Yeah, he was guilty of having sex with a minor, but we're going to overturn that because, you know, he shouldn't be held to a higher standard than those applied to the general population. So basically, you're telling the general population that it's okay to have sex with minors. I mean, that's how I see it, because he had sex with a minor. He hooked up with him on the internet. Went, got caught, you know, obviously the mother caught them in the act, pressed charges. So the standard is you can get caught having sex with a minor and you don't go to jail if you're a police officer. Obviously, if you're somebody else, your ass is going to jail. You're not passing go. You're not collecting $200. It's pretty much a wrap. But I just thought that was funny. One, that there's a hung jury. It's like, obviously, it was a jury with people who do not have kids. Because if you have kids, there's no way in hell you walk in on a grown person on your grown son or daughter. And it's like, that shit's acceptable. But hey, I'm not a lawyer or anybody smart. I just pretend to be one on the internet. And this is just like, so basically, it's legal. So that's what I got from it. It's all legal. And speaking of legalities, just in case you didn't know that your rights were going away even further, because I'm a conspiracy theorist. If you don't know by listening to me by now, I will tell you, I'm a conspiracy theorist. A judge orders Glenn Beck to reveal sources for stories linking the innocent man to the Boston Marathon bombing. Now, you know, if you remember 2013 when them dudes bombed the Boston Marathon, authorities had, according to Glenn Beck, I don't know if you remember Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck used to be on Fox. He was one of those hosts that used to spout endless amounts of bullshit at the time. He reported that there was the authorities had tagged a 20-year-old Abdulrahman Al-Harbi as a proven terrorist who funded the operation. And this is what Beck had alleged. And he said, you know who the Saudi is? And Beck said, yeah, he's the guy who paid for it. Of course, the claim was untrue. And police did question Al-Harbi. But, you know, when they say they questioned him, he was injured. But I'm guessing they injured him a little bit more because that's kind of how they do. They searched his apartment, his Facebook, and after a day of the attack, they had cleared him of any wrongdoing. But, of course, that didn't stop Beck from pushing the money man theory. And he several radio broadcasts and his website, he talked about it. So, now a judge, when asked, he said it was confidential sources by two of his top editors. So now George has said Beck has to give up those sources. Now, I report this because freedom of the press is a First Amendment right where reporters, when they're reporting on stuff, they don't have to give up their sources because sometimes these sources, like whistleblowers, need to be protected so that, you know, you can report accurately and the people who are blowing the whistle don't necessarily have to worry about being caught out there and vilified. As we know, the brother who recorded the police killing the young man in Baton Rouge, video guy, among others, who have been vilified for telling the truth and putting the truth out there. So what happens with this, as a conspiracy theorist that I am, people don't care because it's Glenn Beck. And it's an obvious lie. Because Glenn Beck lied. It was proven that Glenn Beck lied. But when a judge orders that he has to give up his sources, it sets what they call in legal proceedings a precedent. So when the precedent is set, from then on, anytime anybody reports something and they want to find out who was their source, they can point back to this and say, hey, because we're trying to get the facts, even though it's against the First Amendment, they can now, because of this precedent, request those sources and go after the people who were trying to do the right thing, but who needed to be anonymous. So no more anonymity. If you're going to tell the truth, your ass is going to get persecuted. Period. Point blank. They are not playing. It's out there now. You think about that for a second. It's the First Amendment right, freedom of the press. But circumvent it, and this is how they circumvent everything. You find a bad guy. You find a situation that is so outlandish that nobody will argue against it, right? Only thing is, it's still illegal according to the laws of the land. Not like that stopped anything before, because shit, we do illegal stuff here in America all the time. It's just the only people who get punished are the poor. The other people don't. But that's just the way it is. And on that note, I think I'm going to take a break now, because I'm just kicking too much knowledge and, you know, stuff that could free your mind, like freedom of the mind. Whatever. We don't need that. This is the Sky Zoo. See ya, Key.
So the sucker way to combo, conversing in more code, seem like everything it should be, so lay beyond those, putting everything on your leap unless the alarm broke, the key might lead to a key to where the alarm go, visionary riches turn to missionary missions, but fuck if I'm sitting still unless I'm sitting there digit, bet you reconsider if you consider where we did it, the sweetest shit that you ever dreamed, till you arisen like wait, hold up, I go to sleep and see key, sweet kind different when it's begging you to get it, I mean, I go to sleep and see key. Sleep is out the norm, but I'm with it till the morning, at least. Peep it. I go to sleep and see key love. Dressed as opportunity. Hand over the peephole. Collecting my gratuity. Married to the reload. As long as we repeating, we'll never be with the repos. Call it high B, but we'll never be with the B-load. We looking underneath and we looking up under seats. Now look up at your belief and down at your wrist. And you look up at what you need and blow it down on the flip. I'm just looking to get a key. The one for the door further. And the dream turned into short orders and tall murder. With a fist full of dollars, ignorance is so blue. Wishful of thinking where that ignorance will get you. Get us where we need and we'll call it even and leave. Oversleep because you know it's easier there to breathe. And sleeping in the thought of the above. Off the love, so the lock is all plugged. And you banging on the key, you get it? I go to sleep and see key. Sleep kind different when it's begging you to get it. I mean, peep it. I go to sleep and see key. The sleep is up and on, but I'm with it till the morning, at least.
Starting to think I need counseling. Yes, when I go to sleep, I see 36 ounces. Damn, all I remember was the bouncers telling me put the smoke out, trying to move his coke out. Yes, woke up in the cold sweat, then I broke out. Trying to go back where I left. It ain't right though.
Nah.
No, I'm in the kitchen, it's just straight night, bro. Things say when they take a hit, it make the pipe go.
Ooh.
Hoping I see the same shit the next night, yo. Great powder,
yeah.
We usually don't allow it. What it's about, I'ma need my 8 hours,
man.
These dreams come true at the end of the day. I pray before I wake that I finish the game.
Pray.
When you don't recognize your blessings, send them away.
Facts.
But let's keep that on the D-Lo. When I go to sleep, I see T-Lo.
What?
Different when it's begging you to get it, I mean, peep it. I go to sleep and see key. And sleep is up and on, but I'm with it till the morning, at least. Peep it. I go to sleep and see key. And sleep kind different when it's begging you to get it, I mean, peep it. I go to sleep and see key. And sleep is up and on, but I'm with it till the morning, at least.
Baby, wake up from me. I know you're dreaming. When you wake up, baby, come to me. Back to me, baby. Let me be yours. Te voy a enseñar que lo que tú siempre querías puede ser real para ti, papi. Lead me to the street. Come see me, baby.
summer. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. FN Word. That was Sky Zoo. See a key. What is the key to calling me? 347-826-7435. That's the call-in number, 347-826-7435. Call me. I'll call you back 3, 4 in the morning when you sleep. Make sure that you're not sleeping because I'm evil like that. Smooth Drama, smoothdrama.com. Also, if you want to email me. Speaking of Donald Trump, I'm talking about the president in the Philippines. So, as you know, Donald Trump running for president here in the United States. And to go along with my theory that he is not trying to win, in order to court the black vote, and this is what I'm trying to tell y'all, he is not trying to win. He's trying to lose by saying the dumbest shit ever. And so he, he wants to reach out to black people. And so he goes and he talks about the good old days in the 80s, which, Ronald Reagan, who was a very staunch anti-black person, as a lot of people call him, Ronald Wilson Reagan 666. But I'm digressing. Donald Trump goes on to talk about the 1700s and the early 1800s. The Industrial Revolution was certainly, in terms of economically, that was when we started to grow. He goes on to say, I like the Ronald Reagan years. I thought the country had a wonderful, strong image. And as we know, the 1700s and the 1800s during the Industrial Revolution was when we were slaves. And of course, it was economically viable because, shit, you don't have to pay for labor. You was making clothes and all this other stuff and not paying nobody. But hey, that's how you court the black vote. Donald Trump, further my conspiracy theory that he is not trying to win. And if he does win, that's because, I don't know, because the people don't actually vote for president and it matters because the Electoral College is a sham and it's not real. And your popular vote means nothing. Everybody in America could opt out and vote for Stan Lee, and he would not be president. Even though technically, if Stan Lee got 40 million votes, he should be president. But I'm just saying, not trying to win. Donald Trump. I said it. I'm going to keep saying it. And he's going to keep saying stupid stuff just because. But what's not stupid, remember, last show before that, I talked about United States paying $400 million to Iran and saying that it had nothing to do with those four people that they released. Well, they have now backtracked, and the Obama administration said Thursday that a $400 million cash payment to Iran 7 months ago was contingent on the release of a group of American prisoners. So, yeah, they paid $400 million for four people. I'm like, so when they talking about there's no money for nothing, that's because y'all paid $400 million for four people. Just let that sink in. I mean, you knew it before, but they admit to it now. $400 million. So when they tell a lie, oh, there's no money for nothing and we're strapped for cash, hey, stop paying $400 million for four people, $100 million each. That's a lot of money. I mean, technically, I think there's like 300 million plus people here in the United States. That's like a dollar each. I'll take the dollar and some change. No, yeah, I would. Anyway, moving on. But I just wanted to point that out for those of you who keep wondering why I'm not feeling your president. It's stuff like that. Yeah, I know he had nothing to do with it, but he still ain't said nothing that has anything to do with helping black folks. So I'm done. And speaking of about helping black folks, I keep reminding you that the struggle is global. The struggle is not just local. Perfect example, Indigenous Australians. There's a planned nuclear dump on Indigenous Australian lands. And when I say Indigenous Australians, I'm talking about the black people that were there. See, like the same thing that happened here with the Native Americans happened in Australia. Europe released their unwanted to America first, and then they built up a new set of undesirable, and they released the prisons again. They just dropped their ass off in Australia. And of course, the Indigenous people in both those lands suffered because of said dumpings. So, yeah, they want to dump some nuclear waste in Aboriginal lands, where the people have occupied that land for more than 50,000 years. And they're like, no, we don't. They say that South Australia could profit by storing that high level of waste from the nuclear reactor right there. And the people are like, no, we don't want that. Why would you want nuclear waste on your land? I don't know anybody in their right minds would want it, but to hear them wanting to drop nuclear waste on Aboriginal, meaning black people in Australia land, should not be a shock to you, because once again, it goes to show it doesn't matter what country you're in, as long as the devil's there, i.e. those people who we know are devils, hint, hint, that kind of stuff happens and you're not going to be treated right. For some mysterious reason, not because you did anything wrong, but just because. Oh, and just so you don't think that I think international, we do have some national stuff to attend to. Come to find out, and there's a device that uses visible sunlight to disinfect water. Researchers at the Department of Energy's SLAC, National Accelerated Laboratory, and Stanford University's Institute for Materials and Energy Science created a device to speed up the process of killing bacteria and disinfecting water. Their findings were published in Nature Nanotechnology earlier this week. The device, which is smaller than the postage stamps, not only uses UV rays, but also the visible part of the solar spectrum to disinfect water. Device is made of glass and invisible layers of molybdenum disulfide. It's a compound that becomes a photocatalyst that produces hydrogen peroxide, a disinfectant, when hit with visible light. And in the case that they studied, the device killed 99.99% of bacteria after 20 minutes of use in 25 milliliters of water. While this device is cheap and easy to manufacture, the researchers stipulate that they only tested it with lab-produced E. coli and lactic acid bacteria. It isn't proven to effectively destroy viruses or chemicals, but the point is they have something that can disinfect water. I.e., I bring this up because, as I have vowed, Flint, Michigan, you know, that place, not in Thailand, not in Ireland, not in Africa, but Flint, Michigan in America. Y'all know about the water there and how it's no good. Come to find out, Flint is about to run out of bottled water and filters. The residents and local officials called for extra funding from college, and the bipartisan group of lawmakers put together a package of $100 million. But Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, you know Ted Cruz, that dude that was running for president, Mike Lee of Utah, kept holding it up, and it never got passed. So you're still, as your resident of Flint and the outlying Michigan areas, you're going to buy your own water and filters and hope that they don't run out, which, of course, they will, because obviously you have to constantly buy bottled water and filters here in the United States. They have devices that are cheap that could help clean the water. Have they called for it? No, because that's too fucking practical and makes sense for some strange reason. Helping poor people have clean water in these other countries? United States doesn't make sense now, does it? And they want you to put your hand over your heart during the national anthem. Shit. On that note, I'm Mr. F the N-word, and this is, of course, is another Smooth Drum production. Special shout out to all the people who take the time to listen to my show. It is greatly appreciated. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.